Rabbi, we're learning Sefer Yoel, the Perek Aleph. We are in the middle of Pasuk Tes. We learned last week a few Pesukim together. Maybe we'll read the Pesukim together again. Okay, we already did most of the Mefarshim. We just have to finish up some Malbum. Okay, we learned Pasuk Tes. Let's read again, starting with Pasuk Tes. Hochras Mincha V'Nesach Nibes Hashem. Yoel is telling us that what's going to happen. He's predicting the future. That the meal offerings and the Nesachim will be cut off mi beis Hashem. And not saying what will happen, it seems that this did happen. I'm not exactly sure if he's telling us an historical fact that it was so, the locusts, the four different types of locusts, the famine from these 4 years, and Chazal tell us, and the next three years, a different form where there was that Tziras Kishamim, it was a total of 7 years, 4 years of locusts, different varieties, four different types. Each year, the earth was infected with one specific min, one specific kind of locust. In the next 3 years, there was a problem, a new problem, where the rain was withheld at Tziras Kishamim. This was the time, according to some of the Mefarshim, time of Elisha. Elisha, when he was, when it's mentioned in Sefer Melachim, the story when Elisha was summoned to help out, pray to Hashem that it should rain. So there was a total of 7 years of famine. And during those 7 years of famine, Yoel seems to say that there was so little food, even in the Beis HaMikdash, there was bittul. We would assume that the Beis HaMikdash, somehow, some way, they would find enough grain to offer a meal offering that is meant to accompany the korbanos, at least the korban tzibur, the korban tamid. This week's parasha, Parashas Pinchas, all the korbanos. Vanesach, every single cover was accompanied by wine. No, even that, there was so little food, even in the Beis HaMikdash, it was cut off the mincha, the nesach, mi Beis Hashem. It's interesting, what would you do? Let's say you only have enough food for a person or for a carbon. I think it's pasha, the food goes to the person. What do you learn this from? Who do you learn this from? David HaMelech. David HaMelech, when he ran away from Shaul, he ran to the city of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim, and it appears at that time there was a famine, there was starvation. David himself was starving literally to death. Chazal tell us he had the disease called bulmois. What is bulmois? I don't know, but it doesn't sound good. It seems like some type of convulsions due to the fact of starvation, and the Koyhanim gave him the Lechem HaPonim. How is David HaMelech from Shevet Yehuda allowed to eat the bread from the Shulchan? The Mikdash was stationed in Noiv. We know there were seven Mikdashes. There was the Mishkan, then it was Gilgal, Shiloh. After Shiloh, there was Noiv and Givon. And then the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Noiv. I'm not so sure we know exactly how many years the Mikdash or the Mishkan stood in Noiv. We know that Noiv and Givon together was 57 years. And after, so David, he ran to Noiv. Shaul wanted to kill him. Shaul was paranoid. He thought that David was trying to kill him. So Shaul went and he chased after David. David ran for his life to Noiv to hide there. And it says, Beferish in the Gemara, they gave him two things. He needed a weapon and he needed food. So weapon, they gave him the sword of Goliath. David was the one indeed who did kill Goliath. He killed Goliath. And Goliath had this amazing sword, an amazing weapon. And it was stored, carefully guarded by in the wherever the Mikdash was. And they gave it to David. David needed a weapon, so they gave it to him. And number two, David was starving to death, and there was no food to be found. It's amazing. There was no food to be found, but yet they found enough food to prepare the Lechem HaPonim on the Shulchan. And they gave that to David. How could David eat from the Lechem HaPonim? David is from the Shevet Yehuda. Only Koyhanim eat from the Lechem HaPonim on Shabbos when they change the breads. The answer is, Ein Davar Oimed Mipnei Pikuach Nefesh. David was about to die from starvation. It's Pikuach Nefesh. Even he was allowed to eat the bread from the Shulchan, even though it's Kodesh. And according to Halach, it's a very severe violation for Yisrael to eat from the bread of Hashem. It's I think it's Karis, right? It's Mi'ila, it's a Chiyuv Mi'ila. He won't be shoygig, you have to bring a carbon asham, or we have to pay a chaymesh. It's not so simple at all. Yet they gave it to him. So if they gave it to him, we learn such a concept that Pikuach Nefesh is even greater than the Beis HaMikdash, than the needs of the Beis HaMikdash, and indeed they gave to them. So here it says that this situation, now if they gave to David the Lechem upon him, obviously there was nothing else to give. Now the question then is, what about the other Koyhanim who live in Noyah? What? Who says they're offering korbanos? Who says it appears that Noiv there wasn't much going on, because if they had to give David lechem upon him, so why couldn't they give him some meat? Why couldn't they give him something else? Obviously, it seems shalom aleichem, baruch refi chaylim. Good to see you. I tried to visit you on Shabbos. I knocked on your door. No one answered.
What?
I came on Shabbos. No one answered. I'll talk later. So no one. So how could they give David? The Teretz says, you see such a Yisrael, Ein Davar Oymei B'mnei Bikuach Nefesh, even the Beis HaMikdash, you can give a Yisrael, a Zar, from the Holy Bread. And here it says, the question was, how did the other Koyhanim survive? It was a whole city. Why didn't they already distribute the bread of the Shulchan to the common man living in the city of Noiv? I don't know. I do not know. Maybe they already did. Everything was allocated, bidiyuk, and now a newcomer arrives, a person that was not accounted for. They did not expect David would show up. But they gave him. And here it says here, the time of Yoel, it's even worse. The situation is so bad. There is no bread even for the mincha. And there is no wine for any of the nesachim. It's been cut off. Mincha, v'nesach, and beis Hashem, avlu ha-kehanim. The kehanim are in a state of mourning. Hashem, who are the Koyhanim? They are those who serve Hashem, because if they have no korbanos to offer, they have nothing to do. The whole avodah is to serve Hashem, and now there's nothing to do. Therefore, they are put to shame. Pasuk Yud, the Shudat Sadeh, the field has been plundered. Okay, Shudat normally means plunder, but who did plunder it? The locust. The locust plundered the field. Avla Adama, the earth is in mourning. Ki Shudat Dagon, the grain has been plundered. Hoivish, Tiroish. The tiroish is put to shame. Chayvish lashna of busha. The wine is put to shame. Umlal yitzar, the oil. The oil is also mourning, in a state of yalala, in mourning. Chayvish ikarim, the farmers are in a state of embarrassment. They have nothing to show for their hard work. Heililu kaimrim, the people who tend the vineyard are crying out. Alchita v'al soira, in regard to the wheat and the barley, ki avad kitzir sadeh, the harvest of the field is gone. Let's read another next pasuk. We read another pasuk. Pasuk Yibes, hagefen hayvisha. The vine is embarrassed. The vine has not produced. V'ata'ena umlala. The fig is also in a state of mourning. Rimoin, the pomegranate. Gam tamar, the date. V'tapuach, the apples. Maybe tapuach is a very hard word to translate. The word tapuach means many different things in many different places. Some will tell you that tapuach is what? Is the esrog. Okay, is the esrog. In modern Hebrew, tapuach is an apple. Apple, and in Echanami, that could very well be. That's what it means. Lefit shuta shal mikra. It also means an apple. Kol atzei asada yaveshu. All of the trees of the field have dried up. Ki hoivish sasayin min b'nei adam. Joy has dried up. Since it's a play on the word, it's a little bit complex. Hoivish. Chayvish here, I think at the very end, means has dried up, whereas back in Pasuk Yud it's exactly the same word with a vav. There it's mole, and there the Mefarshim say it means put to shame, the busha. Busha. Maybe not everyone agrees, we'll have to go review it one more time. Yikol means put to shame. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says it means put to shame, but here at the end of the Pasuk, Chayvish, Rashi himself says it means to dry. Isn't that interesting? The same exact word is being used twice in the context of these psukim, and in the beginning it means shame, that the farmers and the fruit itself, which has life, is ashamed of itself, that it has been unsuccessful to produce its fruit. That's its purpose. When a creature does not fulfill its purpose, it's a source of shame, and the sasayin. And here the sasan, and likewise, it has dried up. The sasan here, the end of the pasuk, is dried up min b'nei adam. Now we didn't really do pasuk yibes yet. but we're still up to the Malam. We're finished with the Malam. The previous Pesukim, so let's just go where we left off on Friday, which is on page 216 on the bottom, Hochras. Hochras here says that the Mincha, there was such a terrible degree of starvation and famine that the Korbanos were not offered during this period of time. Hochras ato yaskir mashe yevlu hakoyhanim mishar se Hashem shehem yikoyninu. They are mourning, lamenting, al regarding she hochras mincha v'nesach mbeis Hashem shein kemach leminochais v'yayin v'shemen l'nesachim. There is nothing to offer Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash. Notice it was a shemen, and here in this pasuk it does not say shemen. It says shemen later, umlal yitzah, but not in regard to the kohanim. Rash, Mitzudas, the Malam, for some reason, he adds in Shemin into the Pasuk that describes the Koyhan. Again, it's very interesting because it does not say that in the Pasuk. For some reason, he throws it in. Why exactly? How precise was he? I do not know. Next, Kamo, where we go to the next Malam. The Malam, page 218. Pasek Yud and Yud Aleph, Shudad. Shudad means to plunder. So what is the word referring to? Beforish Neged Hochras Mincha. So Shudad Sadeh, the field has been plundered. Shehim Sidei Tevua, Shasham Godel Chitim Limnachos, that's where the grain grows. The Neged Hochras Nesech. And regarding the wine, Mefaresh ki Ovla Adama, Shalecha Hoya Godel Hagefen, the earth upon which the vines grow, Linasachim, that were used for the wine offerings, it's in a state of mourning. Mufarish neged shudat sadek, ki shudat agon, shud godel basodev, neged avla adama, mufarish ki hevesh tiwash umlal yitzar. Very, very quickly, the earth is upset because its vines have been destroyed, have dried up. Shuhayayin, yashemen, linasachim, v'choiz mufarish neged shudat agon, v'hevesh ikarim, the farmers, shehem ho'ivdim besodetvua, v'neged hevesh tiwash, mufarish helilu karmim, the those who tend the vineyard. Shehem ho'evdin v'kerem in the vineyard, yayin v'kerem v'zayis, they tend the vineyard, the orchard, which has the olives. V'choyze mefarish negin ho'evish ikodem al-chita v'al sa'ira, regarding the wheat, the barley, v'chayin ki'avat kutsir sadeh, that yes, I mean, it's other forms of vegetation, the kidneys, beans, shegidolim ba'sadeh shehi avodas v'ikodem, which is the work of the ikodem, negin helilu karmim mefarish. And then we go to the next pasuk, ho'evir ha'gefen ho'evish, just explain the pshat. They tend all the various types of vegetation. Everything has been cut off. So here is why we learn the Malbim. Because the Malbim always tells us, knock out Yisrael. And here he says, if you make a calculation, something you would not pay attention to unless you had someone like the Malbim who opens up our eyes. The seven minim shenishtabcha bohem eretz Yisrael. What are the seven minim? Chito, wheat, usoil, barley, gefen, wine, usena, figs, rimon, pomegranates, tamars, dates, and zayis, nichlal, bekerem, even though it does not say explicitly in the pasuk zayis, olives, that's the seventh one. It's nichlal bikerem kaniskar le'el. That's including the vineyard, as it said with Yitzhar. When we mention the pasuk yud, it said there tirosh wine umlal yitzhar. Yitzhar's oil. Okay, so what do we have over here? V'hoisa b'minei pri adama ki avad kitzir sada, and other things as well. So we look at these pasuk over here. We learned today. You look very carefully. Starting with pasuk tes. This mention of all of the seven minim shenishtavach bohem eretz Yisrael. Right away, we have the wheat and the barley is explicit. The gefen is explicit. We have here pasuk yud beis the pomegranate, the tamar of the dates, and we had yitzar the oil, and we had gefen. It's a gefen explicitly. So those are the seven minim. Chita, se'ora, all seven have been accounted for. Plus, we also make mention of a tapuach. That tapuach, which we like to refer to as the esrog, and all other types of vegetation, everything has disappeared from Klal Yisrael. I always like, every time I think about the word tamar, for some reason it's going to be really hitting hard. Tamar is Russian, because that story that I told you about Rav Moshe Barbelsky, I learned by Rabelsky. I really, really miss him a lot. And I read the book. The one story that always percolates in my mind is Tamar. Tamar is the name of his daughter, married to Rechnitz. What's his first name? What's Rechnitz's first name? I forgot, Yehuda? I don't remember his first name. Yehuda Rechnitz. He's a very wealthy person. He gives a lot of money to tzedakah. So he's married to Tamar. So who's Tamar? Who is his daughter Tamar? Rabbi Belzer's daughter Tamar. So in the book it says, I never knew this, that his wife had multiple miscarriages before she was born. And when his wife was pregnant with this girl who would be Tamar, the doctor said that she's not going to make it. There are complications and she's not going to make it. So Rav Belsky was very close to Rav Moshe Feinstein, very close. He ran to Rav Moshe and he told Rav Moshe, the doctors say it's not good. So Rav Moshe said, let's daven. And this was unique to Rav Moshe Feinstein. When someone came for a bracha, Rav Moshe wouldn't wait and say, write down your name when I'll daven the Shemoneh Esrei, I'll insert your name. Rav Moshe would say Tehillim on the spot. On the spot. He said, let's daven. And he sat down with Rabbi Belsky, and on the spot they said Tehillim, together with Rabbi Belsky. Says the Farish in the book, okay, the art scroll book. I'm not making this up. Farish art scroll. And they daven, they said Tehillim. And then after they said Tehillim, Rabbi Moshe said it's going to be okay. How you talking, Rabbi Moshe? Rabbi Moshe, it's going to be okay. Kachava. She was born healthy with the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck 3 times. If I'm not mistaken, maybe 4 times.
Four times.
And the doctor said, never ever in the history of that I know of, did a child ever survive such an ordeal. Where the umbilical cord can be wrapped around their neck 4 times, unheard of. Mamisha, a nes golui. So Rav Belsky, he named his daughter Tamar. Roshei Teves, Tefilosoi, Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what he said. Tefilosoi, he attributed the miraculous survival of this child to Moshe Feinstein, Tefilosoi, Moshe Rabbeinu. Unbelievable. Okay. Now, we have here all 7 minim, and this is the lesson of the Radak telling us that this was the punishment of the famine. Now, there's a very powerful lesson in this, that there are different types of famines. There's sometimes when there's a famine, when there's a drought, when there's a problem, it's not necessarily the Yad Hashem. Hashem is coming to punish. There are certain natural events that happen in this world. There are earthquakes. There are tornadoes. There are things, there are events in this world that don't necessarily, everything is hashgacha. Let's not deny. Let's not forget about that. Every single thing is hashgacha pratis. But at times there is a message, a very intense message. And the proof is that not so long ago, the Sreifa Satara, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, after the debate. The debate between the Christians, they seized the Torah Shabbal Peh, all of the Sifrei Kodesh, 24 wagons of Sifrei Kodesh, and they burnt 24 wagon loads of Talmud Bavli and the Mefarshim. And it wasn't so clear, you read the Mefarshim, that this is something which HaKadosh, it's an extra special. It's obviously the Yad Hashem. Obviously, it's an incredible tragedy. But what is the degree? You know, certain tragedies, certain events, you put on a scale of 1 to 10, where exactly is HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down upon us with a very heavy hand? Sometimes you can say, it's a polite reminder. And sometimes you can say it's a 10. Hashem is really hammering away at you. And they were shoyel. They asked, in Shemayim, whatever this means, that there should be a revelation in this world. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is going on here? And indeed, there was a message sent in a dream. Zois chukas ha-Torah do gezeras oiraisa. This is a gezerah. Gezerah is a very harsh word. It means there is a punishment here directly from Hashem, a tzvia, a complaint against Klal Yisrael. And that required Klal Yisrael to do some soul searching. Here as well, we have here a famine, 7 years. No, famines happen. Locusts, they make their way through the world. Kachi Dargo Shalolam. What is the message? But when you see that in the punishment, it is all of the seven minim, b'davka, the Zion minim, shenishtabcha bohem Eretz Yisrael, that is a telltale sign. It's not just a natural event. If it's just a natural event, then it wouldn't b'davka be the Zion minim. There would be something, though, that the main focus would be on wheat, on grain, on this, on that. The fact that Yoel is coming to mention, the Navi is saying, it's bidafka, the Zion meaning, shenishtabcha bohem Eretz Yisrael. There's a direct message that you, Klal Yisrael, do not appreciate the land. You do not appreciate what the gift that Hashem has given you. Now it's the Bein Abitzar, the Chorm Beis HaMikdash. The MS is the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed before it was even built. How do you know this? Tisha B'Av. What is the first thing that happened on Tisha B'Av? There are five tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av. The first thing is they came back, the Meraglim came back from Eretz Yisrael. And what did they say? They said, the land is no good. Eretz Echeles Es Yoshvecha. They had bitter complaints. Vayivku ha'am balayla ha'hu. They cried. And so one of the Farshim says, many, many different dimensions to exactly what was the fate. What was so terrible that they, so they explored the land. It wasn't all that good. So they have to die in the Midbar 40 years. And there has to be, and because there was a bechil, they cried that night. It's a bechil doyreis. So the answer is, they didn't have to cry. The Meraglim was so passionate in their Lashon Hara, and in their negative report about Eretz Yisrael, they aroused the people to cry. That's a lot. Today, try to find today a public speaker. I challenge you, okay, there's a plethora of public speakers out there. I challenge you to find the public speaker that has the koyach to bring the audience to tears. Not so easy. People are very hard. Get older, it's not so easy for an adult to come to tears. To go find a public speaker to arouse the tzibur to cry, that's a talent. That's a very powerful talent. The one dimension of the chet of the Meraglim was that their passion for the Lashon Hara, their hatred for Eretz Yisrael was so powerful, they arouse the people to cry. That's pretty serious stuff. You can say Lashon Hara all you want. You're not going to cry so quickly. And they cried. You crying? Are you actually crying? If you wouldn't cry, you would just go home and just, you know, say some nasty things. All right, you know, the world doesn't come to an end. You say some nasty things. It's not a good thing, obviously, but to cry? Vayivku ha'om ba'layla ha'hu, Hashem took it personally. And therefore Hashem said, you cry over the gift of Matan I give you? You know what? This will be for you a night of crying, l'chol ha'doyres. And the Bayis Rishon will be destroyed, and the Bayis Sheni will be destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed before it was even built. Why? Not because of Sinas Chinam. Not because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shlichas Damim. It's because you don't appreciate Eretz Yisrael. You don't appreciate the gift I've given you in Eretz Yisrael. That's why Eretz Yisrael will be destroyed. And here, if we're learning about Churban that is taking place in Eretz Yisrael, and the focus is Bedavka on the Zion, Minim, Shenishtabach Bohem Eretz Yisrael, that means we're dealing with the Shevach, the Yoifi, the beauty, and obviously each one of the Zayiminim is not just a physical item. Each one of the Zayiminim represents is symbolic. It's a metaphor for a degree of spirituality in Eretz Yisrael. And if you're crying over Eretz Yisrael, there's something fundamentally wrong with your appreciation of Eretz Yisrael. That is, I think, a very simple, powerful mussar that comes out of the Malbim. It's not just a famine. A famine, there are cycles in ecology, in nature, and not everything that happens in this world does it mean the world is coming to an end. you have to learn how to deal with the lightest things in the world. You know, there are earthquakes, there are hurricanes. Chofetz Chaim discusses this. Not every earthquake is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming, is out to get you. How do you know? We don't know, unfortunately. We don't have a Nevi'im amongst us. We don't know. But they did. They did. They had a yo-yo. And Yo-Yo's telling them, this is not just Stam, a locust. This is coming for fun. It's a natural cycle. Didn't have to happen, period. And when you look at the punishment, then you can see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toiveya. He's Toiveya, a lack of appreciation for the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael. And this, of course, is a Musar Haskel for us. You know, there's a lot, everyone who is, it's the topic of the news, what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, all the politics, and this and that, and all, you know, everyone on their side, it's a whole world of politics. But when the day is over, don't forget, this is Eretz Yisrael. Do not, this is the matana, this is the gift of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a makom of Kedusha, this Shevach to be found in the land, and you have to know not to cross the line. There's what to say, to each his own, but still there is a powerful limud musaf being presented here by the Malbim in his amazing analysis of what exactly is happening over here. Okay, so we've gone with Zayin Minim. Any more Malbim here? I think we finished. Let's go further. We did enough of the Malbim. Yeah, we finished the Malbim. So now the only thing left to do is. Let's see, maybe a little bit of the Mincha. We did a little bit of the Mincha Gedoyla. The Mincha Gedoyla, let's see. Okay, let's learn a little Mincha Gedoyla. Okay, let's start with Pasik on page 217. 217, starting with Pasik Tes. Chochras Mincha Vonesech. Kaviyochel Gam Chelik Avoya Shehu Mincha Vonesech Chochras. Now, this pasuk over here is coming to say over here that not only are the people, is the common man going to suffer from a lack of food, even the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rejecting the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Hashem does not want that. I'm not interested. Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, I don't want your korbanos. Don't waste your time. Avlu ha-koyhanim m'sharsi Hashem shlo yikablu doron kiki mishluchon gavoyaz kozachu. Now he's learning an interesting twist on this pasuk, the Mincha Gedoyla. He's saying is that they don't have what to eat. It's not just that the koyhanim, I translate the pasuk similarly, is that Kol Shparuchu has rejected their service. You're fired. This was your service. You serve Hashem. Hashem doesn't want your service. The Mincha Gedoyla is saying something more practical. If you're fired, at least there's severance. You have a severance package. You have a pension. You have social security. You have something to rely on, what to eat. Here he's saying something very practical. They're mourning because they're starving. Because when there's a Beis HaMikdash and people are bringing korbanos, then what do the Kohanim get? The Kohanim get the Shirayim. They're not going to receive all of their matanos. The Zayin Minim Shemishtamach from Eretz Yisrael. You want to tie this? Let's connect this. If we connect this Mincha Gedoyla to the Malbim, it's beautiful. Because the Zayin Minim Shemishtamach from Eretz Yisrael. What do we know about them? They are the Bikurim. Every year, every farmer, he takes these, the Zayin Minim, he brings it to Eretz Yisrael, he presents it in front of the Mizbeach, and recites the beautiful Pesukim that we darshan on Lel Pesach. And when the Kohanim come to the Beis HaMikdash, they come accompanied by bands, musical instruments. It's a beautiful procession. It's a very great time of Simcha. So the Mincha Gedol over here is adding a whole new dimension. You connect it to the Malbim, and that is the Zayin Minim is the Bikurim. And Bikurim represented a tremendous Simcha for Klal Yisrael. The last Mishnayis, the Zeroyim, talks about exactly how they brought Bikurim. They came from the fields in a procession, a parade. It was mamish, like the Israeli Day Parade.
Can you imagine? Israeli Day Parade with clean, no pretzels. Everything was nice and good. And they had floats. And they came with baskets with birds, white birds. They put, isn't that beautiful, Rabbi Yisrael? They put white birds on top of the Bikurim, and they had floats, and all the schools came out, Ramaz, and the Satmachid, they came out with their Kinderlach, and this one came out with their Kinderlach, and they came out to watch the procession. This, Rabbi Yisrael, was the real Israeli day parade. Bikurim. That's what it says in the Mishnayos. Go look at the end of Masechta the Zeroyim. It was an incredible event. And guess what? That's what's bottled. The simcha of the bringing of the Bikurim is bottled during this time. Hashem is rejecting a new appreciation. What it means that the sasayim, the joy, this, I think this really adds an appreciation. The very last words, we're at page 218, the last words of Pasuk Yud Beis. Ki hoivish sasayim min b'nei adam. The sasayin has dried up. What sasayin are we referring to? Stam, yamtif. No, so you'll have a yamtif, buy some nice clothing, you'll import some fruits, you'll go to America, you'll get some good food, you'll bring in good food from America with good heksher. What's the sasayin that has dried up in Eretz Yisrael? Bikurim. If there's no food in Eretz Yisrael that's growing in the land itself, there is no Bikurim. There's no Bikurim. This beautiful event that happened yearly is over. And that's very sad. Going further in the Mincha Gedolah, Bikurim utruma ma'isur shor ma'tonois, there's no koila. We know that ma'isur sheni was the Kollel fund. Everyone says that's a very powerful idea. Like today they have, in addition to the government giving money to the Kollel, today we have Adopt a Kollel. Adopt a Kollel is an amazing thing. I personally, when I first saw it, I thought, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And it's not. Rabbi said, believe me, it's not. I witnessed firsthand what they do. I know someone, I know my brother, he lives in Lakewood, and when he went in his shul, they give, one of hundreds of shuls. They pool money together, they give a significant amount of money to a kollel, and when he went to Eretz Yisrael, so he was there, so they invited him, the person who runs Adoptical, invited him to represent his shul, to be there to see what goes on. And they asked him to speak, and it was a very beautiful event to watch. To see the kollel that they adopted. I was just an observer. And I was talking to one of the kollel on the line there, and he says, you don't understand. The money that they give, it really, really makes a big difference. Some are independently wealthy. There are people there in the kollel. But there are some people, this is their bread and butter. And they get by, they manage to get by, and it really makes a major difference in the quality of their life. And like I was really had a whole new appreciation for this fellow who singled out the name of the person. It's unbelievable. Now he's gone even further. He has a corporate sponsors. He's gone further. In addition to having shuls, individual shuls, Shafil and Achrayis, like adopt. Like, you know, have a sister city to adopt, have a personal connection with a kollel. Now they've gone to another level where he has corporations, businesses, that a successful business that is owned, operated by firm people, should also, that business should have a partner, and a partner of a kollel in Eretz Yisrael. And it's definitely an impressive. So in ancient times, there was no adoptive kollel, there was no government, there was no state of Israel that gave money to people to learn. And in those days, who gave the funds? How did you survive? Meiser Sheni, people who live all over Eretz Yisrael have to bring in year 1, 2, 4, and 5 Meiser Sheni. And there's no way the Balabayas, who brings the Ma'aser Sheni, can eat all of his Ma'aser Sheni. There's no way. So what do they do with it? They transformed it in, they converted it into cash, the Tzarta Kesev Yadcha, and they brought the cash, and they made a kollel. They made a kollel. It was cash, and they had people, they would learn, they would devote themselves L'Avodas Hashem, and they would eat every day. You take a coin, and you go to the store, and you buy food. You buy food, and you eat nice and shiny, and you'll survive. And you learn, and you do whatever, not necessarily whatever, the Avodas Hashem. They were supported by Ma'aser Sheni. If in Eretz Yisrael there is no food, there is no food, then there's no Maisa Sheni. There's no Maisa Sheni, then the Kollel shuts down. Hey, it's much easier to support yourself from Maisa Sheni than to raise money in America. To run to America and to raise money. This is natural. It's natural. Eretz Yisrael is an amazing concept. Eretz Yisrael naturally funded the Kollel. It wasn't a matter of fundraising, the Shnar to fund. It's natural. Because the Torah says in year 1, 2, 4, and 5, you have to give Maaser Sheni. 10% goes to Yerushalayim. You can eat it yourself. Eat it yourself. Give it to your family. And what happened? Someone who was blessed could not eat it. It's so much. It's too much for one person to eat. So what do? You leave it. It only can be in Yerushalayim. So you leave in Yerushalayim. You leave it to other people to eat. And what do they do with it? You don't just give it to people who are tourists. You give it to people who are going to use the money of Maaser Sheni to devote themselves to serve Hashem in any way that they see fit, whether it's chesed, whether it's learning, whether it's other forms of avodas Hashem. And that now becomes bottle when there's a famine. That's over here what the Mincha Gedolah is alluding to. Over here, there's no bikkum, there's no tum, there's no ma'aser, sharit matanas, kuhuna, ki af al pichein, roi lochem, letztab, yos al chelik, al gvoi, me'al kolkem. And therefore, you should mourn for this. V'zeo shamar chigu, siftu, ha'chem. I'm in the second while of the Mincha Gedolah, page 217. Loi lamash magia lochem, ki ela, ela al ki, nimna mi beisra, lekecha mincha v'nesach. You should cry not only for your personal lack of funds, you should cry for Hashem. That Hashem is not being served. Al kain chigru v'siftu, gird yourself in sackcloth. V'siftu mourn hakoyhanim ki lochem adav v'nogei b'yoyis al chedik gavoya shal chalkeichem, because they're the ones who suffer the most. They're the ones, and that's a very powerful idea. The kinois is that the ones who suffer the korban beis hamikdash the most were the koyhanim, because this was their life. Computer programmers. No, you can program in China also. They'll take you in China to program. They'll take you in America. They'll take you in New Zealand. In Alaska, they also need computer programmers. But they don't need Kohanim in Alaska. They don't need Kohanim in Australia. They only need Kohanim in Yerushalayim. And if there's no Yerushalayim, you're out of a job. You're out of a life. You're out of your purpose. So the ones who felt the Chorban much, much more so than anyone else were the Kohanim. And that's what it says over here. And therefore, the Zakenim should get together, do Teshuvah of Yachin called Yoshua Aretz. The Altaimu Kiyadai Loi Bohara. Don't say, oh, well, we'll do Teshuvah when things get bad. Don't wait. Don't wait for it to get bad. Ach, on page now 219 in the Mincha Gedol on the top. Ach, ech tzaku alecha de'uk no ki aderech amiti hu lahakdim tefillin. So this is very beautiful. So over here, he's thinking over here is that you should do tshuva in advance. And that's what he says over here. Zer aho layoim. Okay, so where is aho layoim? Aho layoim is going on. Where is that? Where is the word? The aho layoim? Where is those words? Okay, I think maybe it's coming up a little bit further. What test? What pasuk? Tezvav. Okay, so we didn't learn that pasuk yet. Pasuk tezvav is a holy. Okay, he's foreshadowing what's coming further, and that's a very powerful idea. Is li'olam yaktim adam tzvila litzara, and we learned that from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, when he came to Ai, back in Parashas Lech Lecha, he saw piruach hakodesh. This would be the first battle in which the Chayolei Tzva Haganoli Yisrael would lose a soldier. Who did they lose? Osniel ben Kenaz. He was the first Chayol that was lost, and he was Shokol Kineged Rubon Shel Sanhedrin. The majority of the Sanhedrin, 36 people. And Avraham Avinu, he saw Piruach HaKodesh that he would die. And he saw worse. He saw that the emes was the whole Klal Yisrael would be wiped out in the battle of Ai. And Avraham Avinu, it says there that he even Mizbeach, he built a Mizbeach and he was Mispal, one of the seven Mizbeachas. An amazing thing, one of the seven Mizbeachas that were built by this Parashi, Parashas Parshas Balak, we just learned last week, is that Balak, he built 7 mizbechos, and one of them was Avram Avinu. Avram built 4. One of the 4 was he built an Ai to be mispalel, that Klal Yisrael should not be wiped out in the battle of Ai. And if not for the tefillah of Avram Avinu, Chazal say, Lo Nishar Sodeh Lepolit, there would have been left over anyone from Klal Yisrael. So you learn from that concept, you say there's a concept called L'Oilam Yakdim Tefillah Letzara. When things are good, that's the time to pray that things should remain good, things should not get bad. Someone talked a little bit on Simchas Torah, that's really what we do at Simchas, that's the Avoida of Simchas Torah Shmini Atzeres. It's the last day of Yidei Yimei Rachamim, and we're really praying primarily things should be good during this year. The focus is Yakdim, not for the past problems, to get out of the problems that we're in. That's the avoda of the whole Yom Tov, is the difficulties that we're facing now. The challenges that we have now, we need salvation. But then there's a tefillah to save us from the future challenges. They should not come upon us. And that is why the only day that we say the Nusach, Hashem Hoshia HaMelech Ya'aneinu V'yoyim Koreinu, together, is by HaKofas. Ono Hashem Hoshiyana. Ono Hashem Hatzlichana. Right? That's the whole year. The whole year we say it. We say Hallel. Ono Hashem. What do we add when we do HaKofas that we don't never do? Ono Hashem Hoshiyana. Ono Hashem Aneinu V'yoyim Koreinu. What does that mean? Answer us. So yes, the average person will tell you Aneinu V'yoyim Koreinu. Answer us today. Rabbi, today, I'm asking you, Hashem, it's Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, it's Meis Ratzon. Today is a special day. Answer me. I have a lot of problems. I need parnasa, fuah, shidduchim, v'chul, v'chulu. Today, it's not the only shot. It's not necessarily even the correct shot. Hamelech Ya'aneinu Me'ashem B'yom, on the day that I will call out to you. Not today. I want this tefillah to be stored for February, for March, April. Somewhere in August. And who knows what's coming down the road? Who knows? Maybe someday in the middle of August, I'm going to have a big problem. I'm going to have Rahman, so I got a pickle on my hand. I never saw this coming. And I'm going to get up early in August, whatever it is, and daven, Hashem, help me, help me, help me. You know, when the person is already at that matzah, when you need the help, it's not so easy. Not so easy that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to come through to you on that day. But if I pray to Hashem on Shmini Atzeres, and I hold the Sefer Torah doing our kavas, and I say, Hashem Hoshia, HaMelech, Ya'aneinu, answer me, V'yoyim Koreinu, and then it comes August, whatever, and I'm sitting here in shul, and I got a problem, the tefillah of Simchas Torah, holding the Sefer Torah, in an Eis Ratzon, that tefillah is now coming to me, here in the middle of August. It's joining my tefillah, and Hashem says, don't worry, you will makdim the tefillah litzara, you will be okay. If I had to rely on my tefillah in the middle of August, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't be enough. Too little, too late. Who knows if even I'll be in the frame of mind to properly daven. I'm busy, I got to run here, do this, do that. I have to respond to an emergency. Who says I'll be in a frame of mind? When on Simchas Torah, I'm in that frame of mind. Hashem, Hashem, Elch, Ya'aneinu, V'yom Koreinu, it's going to work for advance. Okay, so this is the powerful idea of why he says, Aho Layoy. Layoy means before the Laila, when it's still day. Laila is symbolic of an Ace Tzara. Kiloyma, Aho Me'ata B'shvil Hayom, Anagia, Ki'ilu, Ki'ilu, Hoy Adav, Aroch, Gloh, Yisi, Mazir. Ach, Karviyam Hashem, 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 Ulai, Lo, Tigdal, Harav, Yikra, Kemaim, Yaakov. Maybe it's not, Allah, Shalom, Shalom, Avekel, Shalom, Shalom, Rachim. It's never going to happen. Sha'amu, Razal, Sha'amar, Mi, Sha'amar, Li, Oilam, Dai, Yomar, Litzaraschim, Dai. I'm just reading very quickly here. V'alderech ze'ev shekivin anovi loyma al yale al huchachem ki kel shakai sh'amar li'olam dai yomel l'tzeraschem dai. Do not think so. V'loy tigdal v'tespashet hara. Do not think that you're going to be spared from evil. Ki du'u eifo ki lo yovei adov v'shem shakai ki im b'shoid mishakai shu b'shin. Okay, this is a whole besod. Okay, this is a little off over my pay level. I don't really know these Kabbalistic concepts.
Okay, I don't even know what this. I'm not even going to try. Okay, let's jump down to the next paragraph. Next paragraph. Oh, Yoimar. Al derech shamuzal sharishom mehapchem midas harachamim lemidas hadin. The wicked, they make from good bad. He's really going further in the pesukim which we didn't learn. So you know, let's leave that because we didn't learn those pesukim yet. Okay, now let's go to back to pasuk yud beis. Pasuk yud beis. We never did. I started the pasuk yud aleph. So let's just finish up these two pesukim. Okay, let's look. It's very simplistic. Let's look at the Rashi. A little Rashi, then we'll go ahead. A pasuk look at Rashi. Pasuk yud beis. Yud aleph and yud beis together. Hoivishu hochlemu means put to shame. Everyone will be put to shame at a time of famine. Ikarim, what are Ikarim? Manhige hachamachareisha, we call in modern Hebrew, an Ikari farmer. And that's really what it means in ancient, in the Lashon over here of Chazal. Al chitav yal so'era, on wheat and barley, musav ala Ikarim, on the farmers, viala karmim, the karmim are those who tend the vineyard. Omar hagefen, hoivisha, the vine is put to shame. Umlola nichrisa means to cut off. I told you it means to wail. That's another perish, but here it means it means to cut off. Pasek piriyah hoivish means kumo yavish, and it means to dry up. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to Pasek Yud Gimel. New sugya. Pasek Yud Gimel. Chigru v'siftu hakoyhanim. Going further now, that the koyhanim should gird themselves in sackcloth, and they shall mourn. Heililu misharsei mizbeach, cry out, those who serve the mizbeach. Bohu linu basakim, go out, come, and linu, and lodge, live, lodge. In this context it means walk around, walk the streets, become a homeless. Over here had to have a good translation for it. Linu means to dwell in sackcloth. Today it became back in style. You ever see these pictures in Eretz Yisrael? Rachman someone, they have an ace Ratzai, an ace Dara. They have now, you can buy in the store, sackcloth. It's not a joke, it's a sad thing. What? Now they are not on Turkarta. Other people do it now. Other people do it now. They have now the Haredim, they have mamish sackcloth. I saw pictures online. At a time of an ace Dara, when at Siras Geshamim was this year. This year it did not start raining for a very long time. Okay, I don't know what the matzav is now, if they have enough water. What? Below the red line, but it's not as bad as it was before. It came down in floods. The torrents came out, but before it came down, they were really worried. It was a real esara. So there were pictures online of mamish. They were geyser and a tinus. And it's becoming more common. They have mamish sackcloth. Like I never heard. You know, you were a child. They tell you an echa. What in the world is sackcloth? What is that? What do you wear? Skins of goats, goat hair skin, certain type of clothing which is very uncomfortable. So now they make it. They sell it. And unfortunately, Rachman al-Islam, where there's an ace sarah, They dress themselves in the sackcloth in order to claim what it says in this pasuk, whatever this means. It's obviously there's something physical about it. It's very uncomfortable. It's very painful. It itches you. Or it's symbolic. Obviously, there's some type of symbolism, a metaphor in wearing sackcloth, which is, I think, here of goat skins. I think it's goat hairs. No, is it not goat hairs? Oh, I don't know. We have to look into this. But today they have this. Okay, so this is Linu Vasaki Mishar Seelo Koi, those who serve Hashem, Ki Nimna Mi Beis Elokecha Mincha Vanesach. He's repeating over here the idea we had before. It's been withheld from you, the many meal offerings, Vonosach, and libations, Yayin, Pasuk Gidal, and Kachu Tsaim. Kachuns dedicate their fasting, Kirat Sarah. Call out. Atzara means a gathering. And Atzeres. Atzeres means to come together. Rashi here says Asefa. Okay, by the way, over here, I want to point out over here that the Olam, people complain about this all the time, the Medaktikim. I'm not from those Medaktikim. To me, it's all the same. Not so sophisticated. But today, there's a word that's used in all the media, Asefa, in the Haredi news.
There's an asifa, Rabbi Yisai. Everyone should come. There's an asifa. There's no such word asifa. It's asefa. And if you look over here at Sarah, if you look over here, it says over here, and then they have the nikud. We have now the advantage of having nikudos. And at Sarah means asefa. So when they have a big sign, there's a gathering. The correct word is asefa, not an asifa. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. If I would be writing a sign, I would write asifa. I'm not here to make not here to correct the world. Instead of my what? Why do we have no idea? I have no idea why. It's one of those things. One of those things that you wonder how it came into our. Some things we know. I always like to tell you about Shabbos. There's no such word as Shabbos. Shabbos. Shabbos is Yiddish. There is a word. It's not Hebrew. Don't fool yourself. If you say to someone gut or good Shabbos, you have just said a Hebrew word. Because in Hebrew there's no such thing as Shabbos. It's Shabbos. It's like Shabbos. Shabbat, that's Havas, Svardit, Svardit. Shabbos. So when you say Shabbos, you're talking Yiddish. In Yiddish, there's no such thing as putting an emphasis on the last syllable of the word. In Yiddish, the rules of Yiddish are every single word, the emphasis is on the beginning of the word. So you say Shabbos, that's correct. In Yiddish, it's correct. No harm done. However, the word asifa, I don't know yet where it came from, but it appears to be not the correct word. The correct pronunciation is asefa. Someone did once tell me the reason why we do not say the word asefa. I once was talking to a very clever person. He said to me, because asefa also means death. Vayigva, vayosef el amos. So it's a word. What's the real word? Is the real word, which is the borrowed word? It means to gather. And it also means to die. You gather it in. A person's neshama is gathered in into the olam ha-neshamas. So al tivtach peh, this fellow said to me, the reason why Klal Yisrael is makbid to say asifa and not say asefa is because al tivtach peh lasatan. We don't want to say a word which means death. Vayigva vayyosef el amav. So therefore it was by design that we say, when we want to call a gathering together among the olam, we say asifa, not asefa, as a play on the word, not to allude to death, but to allude to come together for something good. Okay, is that correct? Maybe, I don't know, I have no clue. No clue, but at least around here, it's just kedai, we learn of atzara. They use sometimes today, that you see in the Hebrew press, when they do have gatherings together, they do use the word atzara today more often than you would in America. In America, they use the word asifa. In Eretz Yisrael, they use the word atzara. Yeah. So more, you look at the a real Israeli would not, I don't think they would use the word asifa than Israeli. The real Israelis use the word atzara. Okay, but over here it says it means asefa, gathering. Pasuk next, aha, pasuk tesvav. We did pasuk tesvav, yeah, we did that. Did we do it, Kol Yisrael Eretz? No, I'm confused. We did not do that yet. Okay, so we did two psukim. What am I saying over here? I'm saying over here, the pasuk yidal, let's read the pasuk first. Kachu tzayim, designate. The word kachu means designation, right? Doesn't mean sanctification. That's a borrowed term. A person can be a kodesh or a kedesha, a prostitute, a male prostitute or a female prostitute. There's nothing holy about a kodesh and a kedesha. So how can we use such a word? The answer is, the word kodesh means designation. You can designate something for the purpose of holiness, or you can designate something for the purpose of non-holiness, of tumah. So here, the word is used in its purest sense. Kachu means dedicate. Dedicate a time to fast. Atzom. Kiru, make an announcement, call out. Atzara, a gathering. Everyone should come together. Isfu, another word which means to gather. Isfu, collect, gather. Zikainim, the elders. Kol Yoyeshver, it's all of those who live on this earth. Beis Hashem Elokeichem. Regarding, the word beis means regarding the Beis HaMikdash. Vizaku el Hashem, and cry to Hashem. One more pasuk. Aha! Woe! Layoim! Woe for this day. Woe for this day that we have to mourn. Ki karov yom Hashem. The day of Hashem is close. Now that means this is an illusion. The day of reckoning of Chorban is close. Uches shoid mishada mishaka yavo. Shoid means plunder. Okay, this is a shin, not a sin. Okay, this is a shin. The Mincha Gedola seemed to say, I'm not sure what he said, but over here, now we're addition, shoid means, what the shin means, a plundering. Mishakai from Hashem Yavo. Obviously, it's a play on the word Shakai. Shakai is Hashem's name, and over here with from Hashem will come Shoid. Okay, let's we did three psukim. Let's see them inside the Mefarshim first. Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Chigu Return Lemar on page 219 on the bottom in the Mitzudos Chigu Return Lemar Chigu Sakim VeVikitzer B'Devar Muvan. Okay, it's self understood. It means Chigu. We left out a word. And the word we left out in Pasuk Gimel is sakim. Gird yourself with sackcloth. Ki nimna al ki arbe ochal akol, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's been withheld the service of Hashem because the locusts have consumed everything from us. Further in the Mitzudos David on page 221. I'm sorry, 220. Kachut Sam Yudalid. Hazminu, prepare. Designate yoim, a day of tzayim. Which in the Lemar, you have to add the word yoim. A day, read son of Leimar, Hachrizu Barabim, make a public announcement, Lisanois Biyom Kavu on a set day. Kiru Atzara, call for gathering. Hachrizu Lis Asaf Beves Hashem, everyone should gather in the Beis Hamikdash. Kol Yoshe Aretz, return to Leimar, call Shel Kol Yoshe Aretz, Beis Hashem, El Beis Hashem. So Rashi, Matulis Lawrence, when it says here Beis Hashem, it means El. I told you it means concerning the Chorban. That's not what he wrote in Mitzudos. That's another parish. The Mitzudos means El. Where should you gather? Come to Shul. What is the ultimate Shul? The ultimate Beis HaKnesses is the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone should come to the Beis HaMikdash to gather to Mispal to Hashem regarding the locusts that have consumed our produce. So we have nothing to eat. We're going to starve to death. Aho alayoyim. Oy alayoyim ahu wo on that day. Ki karav hu yulavoy boy peronis me Hashem. Punishment is coming from Hashem on that day. What day? The day when the food runs out. The day when the food runs out. Uchashoyid. K'moy bizas shoydidim, the plunder of the robbers, of the bandits. Yavoy mikel shakai retadalema ha'arba ha'abob b'dvar Hashem, yashoyk will rob. K'moy b'nei adam shoydidim, just like robbers, people who, bandits who go from town to town. The locusts are the robbers. Pasik tes zai, we didn't do that yet, up to pasik tes zai. Now let's see, Rashi, these few psukim. Rashi, going back to Pasuk Yud Gimel, Rashi, there is no Pasuk Rashi or Pasuk Yud Gimel, but there is a Pasuk Yud Dalet Rashi on the top of 220 Kach Utsayim Hazmin Utsayim, designated date to fast Atzara as Seifa. Okay, Pasuk Tezvav Aha L'Shoin Neginichas Yilala, a moaning, an expression of pain. Woe Uchashoid. Uchavizas, the plundering of the shoydidim of robbers. Yavoy me'es ha'makom will come from Hashem. Okay, let's take a look at the Radak. Radak, Pasik, Yud Gimel, back on page 219. 219, Chigru Ritzvetzolemar, Chigru Sak. Gird yourself in sackcloth, perish acharkach, linu va'sakim. Now, what does it mean to lodge in sakim? Uperish. Uperush bohu, this means bo beis Hashem, come to the beis Hamikdash for Shom Siftu, and there you shall mourn the Amalinu ki afilu balayla lo sasidu hasakim me'alechem. So he gives a perush. Linu is a very obscure word here in this pasuk. Linu over here means even at night, don't take off your sackcloth when you lie down to go to sleep. Ula yirachem Hashem alechem. Maybe Hashem l'rachmonis v'amar m'sharsim mizbeach. Those who serve the Mizbech, the Yamar Mishar say Elokai, Shasheris, whom is Bamizbech Lukim, the Sheris, the Mizbech, the Samach Hasheris, Lukim, the Mizbech Mayashar, Yishar Sulah Shembam. It's very interesting that the Radak reveals to us that people would sleep in sackcloth. There are many stories about Gidele Yisrael. I think specifically about Rabbi Dessler. Rabbi Dessler slept in his clothing and even his shoes the entire, all the years of the Holocaust. As far as I remember, if I remember correctly in the book, the art school book of Rabbi Dessler, it's been a long time since I read that book, and that really stuck out in my mind. He felt he was mishtatef in the tsar of Klal Yisrael. How could he take off his shoes and lie down in comfortable pajamas and lie down on a comfortable mattress with a pillow when he knows that 6 million Acheinu Bnei Yisrael, they're sleeping there in the barracks, they're being murdered, and there's who knows who they sleep. But six people in a bed, I read, and one of them, one in Auschwitz, maybe six people were forced to lie in one cot. Not even a cot, a piece of wood on a board stacked. How many stacked high? Who knows how many stacked high? You know, reminds me of Chazal. Time Chazal, I forget which tkufa, six Talmidim would cover themselves. Rabbi Huda Bar Eloi, in his generation, six Talmidim would wrap themselves in one talus. They were so poor to learn Torah. Six people. In the Holocaust, Rachmana Litzlan, six people would be forced into a teeny board to sleep for a few minutes before they would be forced to engage in more slave labor. And then they were killed after everything was said and done. So it's amazing, the number six, lying in a bed, you know, it's very frightening when you know this Chazal, of Hidu Ba'iloi, six Talmidim would dress themselves in a sackcloth. So Rav Desla, he knew about this. They all knew what was going on. He couldn't sleep and took off his shoes. He slept every night wearing his shoes. Oh, you'll say you're not allowed to do that? It says in Shulchan Aruch, when you go to sleep, you have to take off your shoes because of Ruach HaTumah. There's Ruach HaTumah. Obviously, he felt it didn't apply in this case. I don't know what the answer is, but obviously everything in Shulchan Aruch needs Das Torah to understand exactly when and how you live Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you take off your shoes when you go to sleep. But you know something, there are exceptions. There are exceptions to the rule. Everything has an exception. You have to know the halacha, you have to have a Rebbe. And he did not take off his shoes. And what's the makar? So I always wonder the makar. What was I wrong? And I hear you learn this. Look at this radak. It's an amazing radak. You learn all these little golden nuggets. You go through Tanakh and Mefarshim. He learns over here. Linu. Linu means to go to sleep. You go to sleep in your sackcloth. What do you think? No, you wear your sackcloth during the day. During the day, you parade in the streets wearing the sackcloth. I mean, Masavul Lechub and Yushalayim. When I go home at night, relax. Take off the sackcloth, take off your shoes, you sit down on the sofa, you turn on the internet, you go to your favorite websites, have a nice cold drink. New in public, I'll make believe I'm a Mas'abel on the Churban Yerushalayim. But in my private home, I also need a break. I also need to relax, have a good time, have a beer, and take it easy. No. The real people, the people who are the real deal, when they're in private, that's when they're misabel with a full dosage of Avelus, and you learn that from one word over here you would never even know. From Yoel, in the middle of Treyos, who learns this? And then there's Linu! Linu in your sakim. And the Radak explains to us, even at night, when no one's watching, no one knows, if you really feel the pain, that's what you're going to do. And the tzaddikim, real tzaddikim, they knew about this. They knew about this, and they knew how to behave. Okay, so let's just know the Radak. We're going to stop. It's just how much more do we have to do over here? Where are we up to? In the Radak, I'm all confused over here. Pasuk Yud Gimel. We're up to over here. We did until Pasuk. I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. Yud Gimel. We did until Pasuk Tezayin. Okay, let's finish up the Radak. Radak over here. Pasuk Yudal. Page 221. Just a few more lines, and we'll stop. Gaj means you shall declare kira atzara shiyu ne'atzarim ha'amil m'lachem. So here's a very nice word, atzara. Okay, this is exactly the same theme of asar batlon. It says in Chazal, in a city, you must have asara batlon. So what does it mean, asar batlon? So unfortunately, most of the world doesn't know what that means. Especially the media, especially the secular media, means a bunch of good for nothings to sit on the bench. The word batlonim in the Gemara means 10 people who are botel mimelacha, people who have PhDs, and there are people begging them, come work for us, we'll pay you $500,000 plus benefits, work for us, and they say, no thank you, we're going to be botel from our job, what we could earn, in order to be available to serve the community. To serve the community. Who's that woman? Friar? That woman? That Hasidic woman? What's her name?
Friar.
So she mamish said this. She said they had, you have to see this interview. Unbelievable interview. Who was it with? It was with, I don't remember, a few interviews. There were a few interviews. One interview they have with a guy who says when she was in Brooklyn Law School, going at night, so she did exceptionally well. She passed all the classes, like top of the class. So the professor said, you're really top of the line. You can make a lot of money. I'll get you help. You get you a good job. So she says, no, I'm not doing this to make money. I'm doing this to serve my community. I went into this because I want to serve my community. Acheinu b'nei Yisrael. It's mamish what it means, bittul. Here you have an opportunity to make a lot of money. I'm botel mimilachtoi. I'm botel from my profession in order to be available to my people. That's called Asara Batlan. A city needs to have 10 people who can be making a lot of money, can be very successful, but they choose out of L'shem Shemayim Natu in order to be available to serve Klal Yisrael the best that they can. So he's learning here, Atzara, that's what Atzara means. Atzara means hold back from what you could otherwise be doing in order to dedicate yourself to serve Hashem. That's how the Radak teaches the word Atzara. Atzara sheyiyu ne'etzarim ha'am mimelachtam from their melacha v'yosfu. They should instead gather together l'tfilo u'bakasha. Take off from work today and stay the whole day in the Beis HaKnesses davening to Hashem. V'zaku l'Hashem ulai yishma zakaschem yosem alechem amach hazois v'chol ze'amach hanavi yishiyasu b'vohar arbe aleihem o shiyashuv b'shuvah terem bo before it comes v'akel b'rachamav yivat l'agzeh Hashem umbat l'gzerah aho l'ayoyim imru aho v'oy l'yoyim hazeh shiyavah when the locust will come. So it seems that in the point of the Radak it didn't happen yet. Yoel is predicting that the locust will first come. I don't know if all of us know like that. Some learn already, everything already, Yoel already, when did Yoel speak? We have to analyze this in more detail. When did Yoel give over his nevuah? Before it happened? Or during? Or during or after? Or what exactly? So the Radak clearly learns that Yoel was speaking before it happened. It did not yet happen. He's predicting what will come. Pasuk tezvav, the last pasuk, will stop. A plunderer. That's the nature of a shayt. You have no warning. Surprise. Can yavai ze asher mishakai from Hashem v'anav v'hanogid the nogid. Who is the nogid? The Ibn Ezra. Okay, this is an amazing radak. He calls the Ibn Ezra a nogid, a prince. Isn't that a nice title? Instead of calling him Haraf Hagoyin, Hagoyin HaMefursim, Hagoyin HaGodol, Rash Nebahag, all these nice titles. There's a new title, Rabbi Stein. Maybe you should try it. Try it by your next wedding, next grandchild. Call up your rabbi, Hanogid, the prince.
Usually, when they refer to a Nogid, it means a guy that...
Money.
As Yerushamayim.
Yerushamayim, yeah?
This time of Yerushamayim.
Hanogid Perish. Ibn Ezra, he calls Ibn Ezra, Nogid, the prince. Mishakai Mechazok. Shakai is v'chein kikol mayim rabim kikol shakai. This is a whole new parish. Shoydeit chozok v'takev shein derech lehimolet mimin. I never knew this, never heard this before. And a whole new taich. Everyone's trying to always understand the fine points of the various shemois of Hashem. There's Shakai, Kel, Elokim, Tzavokos. There are seven primary names. Hashem has seven primary names. And then there are many offshoots. Many other names, all different types of shemos. It's very hard, challenging to understand the difference, the dimension of the Ribbono Shelem that we are alluding to with each one of Hashem's chefs' names. Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei Zayin, Rachamim, Elokim is Din. Okay, then it gets more difficult. What does it mean, Tzavokos? What does this mean? What does that mean? Many perushim. But Ibn Ezra says a very fascinating pshat. Shakai, he says, means strength. It's the God of strength. Because Shakai comes from the Shoresh Ashoid, a plunderer. And Ashoid always means we're helpless, we're victims. there's a takif. There's a person who comes upon us and he plunders, he steals our assets. We have no control. The word shoyt has a connotation of strength. So when the Ribbono Shel Olam comes upon us with toikef, with strength, he's called shakai. That's loop shot. That's not what we commonly understand. We think shakai means sh'omar le'olamai, die, enough, dayenu. Here's a loop shot. Shoyt, the Ribbono Shel Olam of strength is going to come upon us, and that's why we use the word over here together. Uche shoyt mishakai yovai. Shoymer dal se Hashem. I don't know. Okay, perushin, but you see over here a nayip shot. What it means, shakai. A new shot, a new appreciation. We will stop here. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.